Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People. We have a great show going on. We're going to have two types of shows. We're going to change things around a little bit today. First off, let me introduce my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing great. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. And we're going to change pace tonight a little bit. And the first part of the show, we're going to go in back into our specialty entertainment field. And we have somebody that's unique just by his name alone. He is the artist. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay. How you became He Is the Artist? How did you get to that name?
Well, I started out as with my biological name, Lehman Bassey, as a jazz singer. I sing, debut single was called Honey, and it actually it was played on the radio a large amount of time, but I didn't like the direction that it was going, so I did a lot of soul searching for 2 to 3 years, and then I found God again. I went to a Catholic school and had a very strong Catholic upbringing, and I wanted to go back to that. And I found the name. I just did soul searching. I prayed about it, and I found He Is the Artist as the name that I wanted to tell the world about. He Is the Artist actually means God is the artist, actually.
So basically, it's more of a religious name than anything else. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so you deal with religious music and teachings?
Yes, I have a very strong religious background. I went to Catholic school. I went to church every Sunday, and with my mother and my family, and I have a very strong Christian upbringing.
That's important, especially today's life. What your music, how does it relate to the community and that you're living in? I know you're living based on an area called in Suffolk County. How is it out there, and how does it refer to you?
Oh, right now it's very different since the coronavirus, and you know, I just want the world to know that God is with them. God is with them all the time, and that God can get them through this rough time.
That's important, and it is very important this day to have God in your life, and you're doing it through music, correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes.
All right.
When you were going to Catholic school as a child, were you in the choir in the church?
I was, yes. I was very active in the church. I was in the choir. I was. I did all of the plays that were in the church. I definitely was was heavy into the church, definitely.
So is that where your roots began, and that's why you went into the music field, because of being in that particular situation?
Well, I started out there learning about God and learning about how you could spread that message musically there. But of course, my actual inspiration is T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes is the one who I listened to one sermon, and I decided, you know, that that's actually my calling. Because sometimes you can go to church and not realize it's your calling. You're there just to worship. But after one of his sermons, I decided, you know, that is the direction I should go.
Do you write your own music and lyrics?
I do. I do for the most part. This next album, called Adam and Eve, that is now going to release on August 28th, is actually a mixture of cover songs and original songs. The song that I actually started in South Africa actually was a song written by myself, which is called Boom.
How many albums have you put out?
I put out about three of them so far. I have one called A Haiku, another called, the thing is, I had three albums, but I took down the other two because they weren't in the direction I wanted to go. I wanted to go into a more religious thing and really preach the word of God. So I actually took the other two. The other one was called Metamorphosis, which ironically is what's actually going on right now, and Metamorphosis in me, and changing from, you know, just regular pop music to now really religious music.
It's a song that I believe you said Boom, right?
Yes.
Okay. Boom turned out to be like a love story in a way.
Absolutely.
Is that
and
correct?
That's why I have a love version for it, and also the regular Christian version, because I wanted to definitely get other people who are non-believers involved, and just to hear about love, because we need more love right now in the world. You know, there's a lot of hate in the world. We need more love, and actually, if somebody listens to that song, they're gonna definitely listen to the Christian version, and it's up to them to really move towards God if they want to.
Because right now, we as a society need religion and God more than ever these days for what's going around this country and around the world. And I think songs like Boom and others that you do will be a good way to energize, especially the younger crowd, to focus on their inner beings and their souls, and to cleanse it, and to allow love instead of hate will work out great, and that's what Boom does, among other things.
Absolutely. Definitely, especially in this time of where there's a lot of hate in the world, and we just need to unite and just really work towards the good of the country right now.
We need to stop the hate, and we
Absolutely.
Need to stop the division, and we need to focus on our inner beings, and what you're doing is a great service for that and goal towards that to happen. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted you on the show, because of the song Bloom and what you're doing. And that's a good thing. What I need from you is, how does our audiences able to get Bloom and other things that you do, where they can find these songs and stuff like that?
Oh, they can find my song Bloom on Spotify, Apple Music, and Tidal, and any major digital outlet. They can definitely listen to my music and buy it. Amazon's another good one. Google Play. All of those major digital music services, they can find my song Bloom.
Do you ever travel outside of Long Island? Do you do tours?
Well, after I was going to do one, but this pandemic definitely derailed all those plans. But next year, I'm definitely planning on something. I'm doing some type of tour. God willing.
We would like to see you come down here in South Florida and do some tours all down here and things, working with the churches and services in here in South Florida, because it will help a lot of people down here.
Like Reverend Dozier, and we have Calvary.
I'm also thinking of trying him. I'm thinking of getting him hooked up with Todd Herndon.
Oh, yes.
Up in Panama City. He's a gospel singer besides country, and he does different things, and he's very big in God. And he goes to churches and performs, too. And he has a big hit named My Name is America. And if you could get the two of you together, it'll be a great concert.
That would be wonderful. I would love that.
Now, I'll refer him to you and see if we can get the two of you hooked up. Right now, he's touring in Georgia.
Or him to him. Yes, he's touring.
Right now.
Not everybody's closed down. Are things opened up here in Suffolk County?
It's opening up here. I just pray that the vaccine comes in, you know, soon. So everything can really open up and, you know, everything can just, you know, get back to normal.
Chaotic.
And that's what we need to do. We need to do that, and we need to have more, you know, if we have God in our life, maybe certain things wouldn't be where it's at right now. And your
absolutely,
message
right.
is very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
More God, less indoctrination, less
absolutely.
Hate.
There you
right.
go.
Yeah.
Can you give our listeners the website?
Yes, it's actually artistfoodcard.com/heisthearts. That's my website. To listen to,
okay.
You can see my bio, and you can also listen to my song Boom, and also watch the videos, the music videos.
Alright. Scarlett, you have anything else?
I was thinking, when you wrote Boom, did you have that idea in your head when you sat down to write it?
I definitely wanted to write an empowering song. That Jesus Christ is all you need. I repeat that a lot in the song, and that's really what people need to really focus on right now. And so it can be really depressing watching the news right now and just seeing just all these things happening, but just remembering that Jesus Christ is all you need and that he can carry you through your roughest times is why I actually wrote that song.
Was there a special someone in mind when you were doing that? Was there a special someone in mind when you wrote the song?
Yes, definitely. It was a toxic. I guess we could say a toxic relationship. But I definitely felt like, what kept us together was the fact that we were big believers in God, and you know, I definitely learned a lot from that relationship, I would say, and I became a better person. I became a bigger believer in God.
And I'm hoping that we as a...
Do you play the guitar or piano or any of that?
No, not to the point of you know, being professional. No, I don't play any. Blackie, I did play the trumpet when I was in school. I wasn't very good at it, but I definitely did play the trumpet. So, so no. But I definitely am inspired by instrumentalists. A lot of my jazz music comes from just listening to jazz instrumentalists, and I'm really mimicking what they're doing. So.
Are you planning on
writing any more music, or are you just waiting for the virus to clear the airways and you can go out to tour again?
Well, I'm releasing an EP at the end of the month called Adam and Eve, and that definitely, there's a lot of songs there, and I definitely want to start performing them for the public when the virus ends.
When you did the songs and you reach into the people, when you sing in front of groups before the virus, do you see the vibes, the inner beings of these people that's falling into you again to the same emotional state that you could get everybody into to the revival, like in the church, all of a sudden everybody gets into it, and you get all these, when you do your songs, you get that same feeling?
I definitely want to reach the most amount of people. I definitely feel like my song will definitely pull people out of the depressing feeling and knowing that God is with them and they will pull them through the virus and really get them involved, you know.
You're uplifting all these people, and every time you play like songs like Bloom and others, you're actually doing a great service again, and we appreciate that, and we need to continue more of that. Can you give us, the audience, one more time where to find your songs and the website? Because we're running in time.
Okay, absolutely. Yes, my song Bloom is available on Apple Music, iTunes, any major digital outlet that can find my music. And also, my Twitter page is actually twitter.com/heistheartist. And my Instagram page is instagram.com/findlovetheartist. That's where they can find me and reach me. And the links are in the bio. There's a hyperlink where that leads into all the major digital outlets that my music is on all my social media pages as well.
As he is the artist, do you have a favorite saying to the people that you sing to us? Is there any one message that you want to relate to in your songs?
Jesus Christ is all you need. That's really our biggest line in my song Bloom that people really need to focus on, because sometimes we can get so focused on the material things in life, and that I can hope that, you know, the money is going to help us if we only had enough money to get this and this. But just remember that Jesus Christ is always with you, and keep praying, and good will come to you. Keep praying and believing.
So you got to keep praying to believe, and keep what's in your heart and soul to believe, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And just keep praying and keep looking, keep hoping, and keep doing the best that you can, and that's all you can do. All you can do is God knows your limits. God knows your limitations and knows that when you can't do something, and he'll find a way for you, you know, as long as you're doing the best you can and keep praying.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know it's short time, but because we're limited in space because of the type where we are at right now down here in Florida, and I wanted to get you here and get you in there and get, because it is an important message. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Anything else, Scarlett?
I'm inspired. I feel good. I wish I could have gotten him to sing a song for me, but we'll do that. He will come. Will you come back?
Yeah, absolutely,
yeah. I want to get you back on
the show.
Absolutely.
Because I'll have you sing a couple of tunes on the show.
Absolutely.
We will do that. We will get you in September when we're after what we're doing down here. Okay? Because I want you back here so we can get you to sing. All right?
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
No problem. You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. He is the artist. He'll be coming back in September.
Famous song called Boom,
Boom,
which is out. You can buy it.
It was an MP3. We would have been able to play it on the show, but it wasn't. And
it was a wave.
But next
Can't
time around,
it.
Yeah. But I
he
did have it on my
like
Facebook page, social media. So
I wonder,
Boom
is he
important.
On YouTube in a video?
Yeah, Bloom is a video. It's on YouTube. I posted the other day.
Okay, look for He Is the Artist on YouTube, and the song is called Boom, and go watch it, and then go buy his music.
Okay,
I'm inspired.
In a few minutes, we're going to have Christian Acosta coming on. He is running for Congress in CD21 in Florida. His chief rival in the Republican side is Laura Luma. The winner of that race will face Lois Franco, and we will flip that seat because she's in trouble.
Lois Franco has a crooked mouth. Have you ever looked at her?
I don't know. No.
Her lips are twisted.
Anyway, I want to play a song for a minute, and when we come back, we'll have our guest on for the second half hour. Hold on.
Okay. Turn.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Waiting for Chris Acosta to come on. He'll be on in about 4 minutes or so. Just a little business here. On Wednesday, we actually got another split show. We have Renee Mayer, who's running for governor in South Dakota. She's a constitutional candidate. He's a constitutional candidate. And we also have Greg Musselwhite, who is running in CD20 here in Florida against Alcee Hastings. So we got split duty then. And we got other shows coming on, other people coming on. Next Sunday, we got Catherine McBean, who's the supervisor of elections. And Mike Essen, my friend and fellow talk show host, is coming on the 12th. And Darren Aquino and Jesse Melton both coming on the Sunday before the primary. And we're going to try and get them good luck charms and see how they're doing. Apparently, Jesse's winning pretty good. Darren's moving up, and he's doing okay. But Greg Musselwhite is doing good. He's being noticed now, and we'll continue with that. And our guest has come on the show, Kaylee. Scott, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Hold on. Hello, this is Joe Golner and this is Scarlett, and welcome to The Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People, second half of the show. And we got a great guest right now. He is running in CD 21 again and to defeat Lois Franco. His name is Christian Acosta. Hello, Christian.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay. Tell our listeners a little bit about you and your district that you're running on, so they know so they can vote for you. So we need to know where the district is.
It's a big district. It's District 21. It ranges from Boca Raton in the south, the western part. So if you live west of the Turnpike and you're in the Boca Raton area, that part's District 21. All of Delray Beach from Loxahatchee to the water, all of Boynton Beach, all of Lake Worth, all of the Forest Hill Boulevard area, all of Wellington, and then all of Palm Beach Island and a part of West Palm Beach, the city. So it's a very, very big district. Very excited to be running there. We didn't have someone challenging Lois Frankel last cycle, and this cycle we definitely will. I'm one of the Republican candidates that's running. There's a primary on August 18th, but I'll be very honored if you'd consider supporting me. It's Christian Acosta. And just remember, show up on August 18th. We need every vote we can get.
Okay. Now, isn't the 21 also like northern part of Broward?
No. It's very, very close, but there is no part of Broward in the district. The Palm Beach-Broward line is sort of the cutoff at the Boca Raton area. It's Turnpike West, the Broward line north, and then obviously, you know, the Loxahatchee Wildlife and the Everglades area.
Okay. You hit Century Village then?
Yeah. There's one of the Century Villages in the district, so is Kings Point. It's a very big district. There's a lot of different neighborhoods, a lot of 55 and older, a lot of family neighborhoods. It's pretty much a little bit of everything. It's very, very diverse. But it's something that we need to be able to compete in, and we can definitely win. You know, I'm right now a professor at Palm Beach State College. I'm an engineer, a nuclear engineer by training. I went to the University of Florida. So we have a message that we can give based around better education, a strong economy, the things that Republicans are really good at, but we don't always vocalize very well. That type of message works with everybody who just wants better for their family. So that's the type of thing we have to take to the voters, and I think we can win.
How is the turnout so far, considering the virus and everything else? How is it going?
From what we can tell, based on absentee ballots that have been turned in already, the turnout is slightly higher than normal, but not that different. Now, obviously, absentee ballots aren't necessarily going to be affected that much by the turnout. The expectation would be if a lot of more people had requested them. But we don't see that the requests are that much higher on the Republican side. We have seen that a good number of Democrats have already turned in their mail-in ballots for the primary. So they may be getting a few more of their voters out. But generally, we've always had pretty high voter turnout. So I don't think the virus has dampened that enthusiasm very much. It just increased it a little bit. So we're in good shape in that regard. But, you know, the other side might be getting a little bit of a boost based on the mailers having gone out. So we do need to be careful about that.
All right. So you need, because usually the Republicans do better mail-ins than early voting, and then we do a same-day voting is what we usually do pretty good at.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you what'll be in the end. And also remember, this is a primary, so it's a primary and there's no big statewide office. So it's just Congress is the highest thing on the primary. So there may not be as high overall turnout, but right now there seems to have been more Democrat ballots turned in than Republicans. At least that's according to the SOE at the moment.
Is there any Democratic challenger for Frankel?
Yes, there is. I've been on several forums where it's myself, Frankel, her challenger. Some of them have had a couple of other individuals from my race as well. Her challenger's name is a guy named Guido Weiss. He's, I think, a Navy guy. He seems pretty nice. He's young. I don't know what he's going to be able to do in the primary. I don't know how credible he is vote-wise, but he's been able to pick on a couple of issues, and she's had to at least come out of the woodwork and defend herself. So something new
that
for
means
her. She doesn't usually have to do
this. That means there's some damage being done.
I can't tell for sure.
Yeah. One of the things I worry about is that when we have a heavy contested race, either in 21, 22, whatever it may be, that we self-destruct ourselves and we get to the point where they don't come together as a unit to support whoever the winner of the primary is. I'm asking this question to every candidate we have on. If you're not the winner and someone else in the party is the winner, would you support that person?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to join their campaign as a staffer, but I'll do the same volunteer stuff I already did. In 2018, I was a volunteer. I would go and take, you know, I'd stuff plastic bags with everybody's message. You put all the candidates' message in there. You go hang them on doors. So, yeah, I'll volunteer just like I did already two years ago, you know. It's a matter of you go and you do the volunteering for the party that you need to do.
Right.
I've actually done it before. You know, you should ask the other candidates whether they've actually volunteered for the Republican Party in this district before. You'll see that I don't know. I don't want to shortchange all of them, but most of them have not. I'm the only one that I know of that's actually volunteered for the party in 2018. I was a volunteer before I ran for office. So when you ask me for my commitment, I've already given it.
Yeah, that's the point, and that's the reason why I'm asking that question. It's because I want to make sure that we unify to take, because we could flip 21, we could flip 22 and 23, and now 20 is in play, and 26 and 27, we could flip all those seats, so all vulnerable. And we need to unite behind whoever the winner is and not screw things up. Like we usually do.
That's a very realistic possibility. It's a big concern. You know, there's other candidates in my race who've never been here before, and I'm pretty sure if they lose, they won't be heard from again. Not here. Just watch.
I hope that's
is
not
your
the case.
District
if you need
part
to...
of Broward and Palm Beach, or just
no,
Broward?
No, I asked that question.
It's
just
only
Palm
Beach. It's only Palm Beach.
And the head of the supervisor of elections, is that person a
right
Democrat or a Republican?
Well, it's Wendy Link. She was nominated by Ron DeSantis. She was a Republican at the time. Now she is registered as a Democrat.
You're kidding. She's a turncoat?
No. I don't know for sure all of the reasoning, but right now there is no election other than an open election with just her and another Democrat. So maybe it's electoral politics. But no, she's a good person. Ron DeSantis nominated her for a reason.
So she's not
in
there to create
up.
Chaos with this Democrat stealing it like Brenda Snipes used to do.
She is going to be a completely neutral person. She's updated the equipment. I know that she's taken our county used to be one of the like two counties in Florida that was on our own system. Now we're on the same system as the rest of the state. We can immediately see by computer if someone's already voted in, like, say, New York, for example. So she's done a lot of modernization to effectively make the system more honest and more fair. So I have very high regard for her. If anybody's listening and considering the vote, I would recommend you vote for Wendy Link. But no, we should have a fair and clean election in Palm Beach County.
Are you getting a lot of support from REC?
Michael
Barnett.
It depends. Generally speaking, they're doing okay. I mean, generally speaking, the REC doesn't seem to get involved in federal races. So they kind of just give everybody the same amount of time to speak, and then the REC doesn't do anything specifically. I will say one thing, and I think it's a fair criticism. The REC sponsored one forum for the candidates in District 21 a long time ago and never sponsored another one, never sponsored a debate. So the only complaint I would have is that they don't seem interested in putting on any official event where the candidates get to actually interact. They've left it up entirely to the local clubs or media personalities like yourselves. They're not doing any debates themselves, which I think is a really big disservice to the voters. But, it's not part of their requirements, so they don't have to do it. Other than that, they've done it.
I'll tell you, so far, you got on, I got Michael Filotti on, Laura Luma doesn't answer the request to do anything on the radio show. And those are the main candidates that we got so far. So you and Mike.
Laura
Loomer
has no interest in being in a debate or discussing any issues. She will never show up in a place where she can be questioned. She didn't bother to talk to the editorial boards of any papers. She has no interest in actually being in debate. If she wants to debate a topic, she can tell me the topic and the location. I'll debate her on any topic she wants, but she'll turn it down because she doesn't have the
response. We've been trying to get her on the show, hasn't responded yet. But
she won't.
Usually the candidates though. I don't expect her to. She's running on her antics were and everything else, and she's doing that, and she's raising funds for that. And that's it.
You're committing
the one thing
people.
I always tell people is this. You've got to be able to communicate with people, especially people who may have a slightly different opinion, because you're not going to win a district like Palm Beach County districts or Broward districts if you can't communicate with people who have a bit of a different opinion or people who may not like something you've done. You have to be able to talk to people, at least the people in the middle. And if you're not willing to do that, you have no chance of winning. I don't care what you raise. I don't care what...
Especially, you've
got to communicate.
21, you got a lot of different issues going on. First of all, seniors are worried about Medicare and Social Security and health. How would you answer those questions?
Well, I mean, the general topic, do you have a specific question or just generally the topic?
Basically, three things they're going to ask about mostly is my Social Security safe? Is my Medicare safe? No, health care.
Right.
Those are the two main things.
Is my health in jeopardy with the virus?
The first thing I can say on Social Security is I'm not going to vote for any changes to Social Security for anybody who is within like 25 years of retirement. I know that there's a lot of Republicans who are concerned about the fiscal aspect. I understand. But at the end of the day, I represent a very, very big percentage of elderly population. We made a promise to them. If you don't like the promise that we made to them, you know, 50 years ago, well, that's a problem for you to blame on the politicians, but it's not the pensioners' fault. They got given an offer. They took it. They worked their whole life according to that offer. They should get what they were promised, period. We've got to keep our promises. So I'm not going to make any changes to Social Security. And nobody who represents this district should be willing to, because you're undermining your own constituents. For Medicaid or Medicare specifically, to me it's the same thing. And I'll go one step further. I will actively fight against this Medicare for All plan that they're coming up with, because what they don't tell you is Medicare for All is getting rid of your Medicare and replacing it with something new that maybe will work, but we all know it won't. And in the meantime, you can't guarantee your doctor will be willing to stay. You can't guarantee that the same benefits will be there. You're going to create a giant problem for a lot of our seniors. So I'm going to fight to make sure that Medicare does not get touched. I'm going to make sure that it continues to work. I'm going to try and lower costs for prescription drugs, because I know that's affecting our seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not going to allow Medicare for All. Medicare for All is a lie. The name is a lie. What they're really going to do is get rid of your plan and then come up with something new. And you have no guarantee
single
that what they come up
system.
With is going to be good. Yeah, when you have no guarantee it'll work. Remember when President Obama said he's going to lower the prices and all of this stuff he promised, and none of it came true. Well, why would you trust them with your Medicare plan? Give me a break. So I'm not only going to protect Medicare and keep it the way it is and keep it working and try and make it better, but I'll be at the forefront of making sure everybody hears that Medicare for All is a disaster.
Okay. Now, do you support President Trump's handling of the coronavirus, or China virus, as I would like to call it?
Overall, yes. I mean, I like to be honest and not political, which I guess is naive of me, but I think there's things we can do better, and I think there's things that we did very well. And if we're not politicizing it, if we're actually trying to serve people and be better prepared next time, we have to say, well, what did we do well? The president not listening to the World Health Organization on some of their comments turned out to be the right call, because the World Health Organization is obviously wrong. His banning of travel from China was the right call. Actually, he probably should have done it sooner, but he's the only one who had the guts to do it at the time. Remember, they called him a racist when he did it. So he was the first one to have it done. That was the right call. There's a couple of things that probably should have been done better. And this is learning experience. How is it that we have farms and ranches, you know, having crops and, you know, like pigs, they're slaughtering animals because they can't sell them, but you also have food shortages at your grocery stores. There's trucking and infrastructure that we can figure out what went wrong, because it makes no sense, right? The truck engine isn't affected by COVID. The drivers can be protected. They're actually isolated most of the time. The food is clearly being made. The supermarket clearly needs it. There is something that didn't work right. And if we can learn from that and fix that problem, one of the most basic things we could be doing for our people is making sure that the supermarket is stocked with basic goods, and it wasn't. So we need to learn that. Obviously, no one's talking about it because they just want to play a blame game, but let's do the real work of being better prepared for next time. I think the president was good on the travel ban. I think he was good on allowing things like hydroxychloroquine to at least be used and tried. I think we should have responded a little bit faster with some of our benefit payments. I think the benefit payments should have been more specifically to American citizens and not to all of these government agencies that receive money. So overall, I think he did well, but we can do better. Now, obviously, when I say we can do better, it has nothing to do with the criticism the Democrats are leveling, because all they're trying to do is just blame Trump for everything. They don't care if we learn or not. I do want to point one thing out. Ron DeSantis, even though he doesn't talk much about it, he had one of the earliest shutdowns and lockdowns of elder care facilities and nursing homes in the country. And he set up a system where if you had COVID, you were sent to specific nursing homes that were designated for only COVID patients. He did it right. No one's heralding him for this. They're not even talking about it. I don't know why. He set that up right at the very beginning. Meanwhile, in New York, they're sending COVID patients back into nursing homes with healthy elderly, and everybody gets sick, and they have huge death rates. So there are things that were done right that we need to be more aggressive in defending, because we have to learn from it, and we have to make sure that the next time this comes, there is no misunderstanding. This is how you treat nursing homes. This is how you protect our elderly. This is how you handle COVID patients in that part population, because we can't have another New York disaster happen next time. That is unfair, unjust, and I'm really, really pretty sick of the fact that they're trying to make it go away in the news when we really, you know, I don't care about going after Cuomo or whatever. What I care about is making sure everybody understands a mistake was made so we don't do it again. And right now it seems that all they're caring about is, you know, covering up for it, and that's not right.
How about what do you say about defunding the police, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa?
Oh. Okay, first off, very simply, I do believe that Antifa is a terrorist organization. I think it was correctly labeled. Okay, they have proven themselves to be individuals who many times are paid, and part of their training is to incite violence, to go up to people and get them angry and get them to fight. That to me is no good. There's nothing positive there. As far as the stuff that happened with George Floyd, A, defunding the police is absolutely the biggest mistake you're going to make, okay? In many cases, the problem is that the police aren't funded sufficiently or you don't have enough police. I'm not the type of person who says everything's fine and we don't need to do anything and the police are infallible. No, the police make mistakes. What happened to George Floyd was wrong. The officer in that situation was wrong. The problem is we need to have the guts to stand up and say, look, the problem in Minneapolis happened because the Minneapolis Police Department seems to have a culture where if you do excessive force, they kind of overlook it. That officer had had 19 citations in an 18-year service history. That's way above average. The guy next to him, the officer next to him in the video, that guy was accused of kicking a black man's teeth in, and they had to settle with that man. Like, that whole group of officers had multiple events where they were using excessive force, and there didn't seem to be any investigation that happens. When you don't have investigation for the officers who don't act properly, it tarnishes the image and the reputation of every single good officer in this country. You have millions of police officers. There will be some who do not do their job right. We need to have the guts to stand up and say, how do we make sure that is fixed? Because if we don't fix it, you see what happens. Every police officer gets blamed, and that's wrong. I do think that we should have taken some action. The bill that Senator Scott came up with, it had in it a provision to do some level of oversight for specifically excessive use of force violations to make sure that they were being properly followed up on. It had some amount of training and making sure that we remove any type of chokehold technique from our books. By the way, I'm pretty sure that there aren't any chokeholds left in police training, and what that guy did, putting his knee on somebody's neck, is not a police technique. They don't train you to do that. So there were good things that we needed to do in that bill, but of course the bill failed because of politics. I don't think that we need to push this under the rug. George Floyd should not be dead. We need to make sure we get better. But at the same time, the answer isn't defunding the police. The answer is understanding that we need to have police trained well. We need to make sure they're doing their job. We do need to make sure that if police are not doing their job, we take them off service and we do something. But we have to keep it in place. At the end of the day, look, if you have a drug dealer on the corner of your high school dealing drugs to the kids going to high school, what are you going to do? Tell your teacher to go move him? Ignore the guy? No, you need police to have patrolling around your schools. You need them to patrol your shops. You need them to defend your stores. You need them to make sure that if there is a terrible violent crime that it gets followed up on and somebody gets put in jail. Defunding the police is a real good way to make sure that all of the worst neighborhoods in this country get even worse. That's the only result you're going to get, and that's not the result we want. So I think we're learning the wrong lessons because we're allowing the radicals to control the narrative. We should be controlling the narrative. We should be talking about how all of this poverty in these inner cities hasn't been fixed for 30 years, and they've been doing exactly what a lot of these Democrat politicians say. We need to be talking about, why haven't your high school dropout rates gone down? Why haven't small businesses succeeded? Why aren't you doing better for your own constituents before telling us about how the whole country's racist? Because the way I look at it, the places where all this worst stuff happens are run by all of these Democrat politicians who always tell me how much of a racist country we have. Like, well, maybe you should be looking after your neighborhoods better, because I don't see any improvement, and it's literally been 50 years in some cases. So we need to learn the right lessons. Defunding the police is absolutely the wrong way to do it. All you're going to do is have more misery for inner city neighborhoods.
Okay, are you you're for Second Amendment, correct?
Yes, I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment. I think that the number one lesson we need to learn is that you can't always rely on someone else coming to protect you. You know, even if the police have the best response time ever, it's still going to be a couple of minutes. And I want that single mother, let's say in Chicago, to be able to protect her family if somebody has to break into their house. Well, it doesn't have to. If somebody breaks into the house, they have to be able to defend themselves. So you have to be able to defend yourself. And the other thing is, every time that people decide they want to attack the Second Amendment, they're always doing it because of political reasons. School shootings come to mind as the number one thing that they always talk about. Parkland, right? But what I have a problem with is this. When a grieving parent who lost a child tells me they want to ban X, Y, and Z gun, I at least understand where they're coming from. And they usually end up actually saying, we have to do something. We have to do anything, do everything. Because I get where they're coming from. Their child is grieving, or they're grieving for their child. But when you listen to the politician doesn't say, we have to do everything we can. The politician doesn't care about investigating why this guy wasn't looked into by the FBI. The politician doesn't care about figuring out why the school's cameras were on a 20-minute delay and the cops didn't know. The politician doesn't care about why the school doesn't have a good fence and perimeter and cameras. They don't care about anything else other than banning the gun. That tells you they don't really care about the children. If you care about the children,
oh,
you're willing to try
everything.
Oh, they don't,
because of the Promise Program. The Promise Program
exactly.
Was put in. Barack Obama.
They don't want to look into it. Look, I'm not going to ever talk to grieving parents about this because I understand where they're coming from and I'm not going to be insensitive. But to all the politicians who go out there and they say, we got to ban this gun. A, what about the basics? You already have a list of people who can be banned from buying guns. These people supposedly love gun bans, right? They should want everybody on that list, shouldn't they? So why aren't they concerned that this shooter wasn't on the list? Why don't they even care? Why aren't they talking about why this system wasn't used?
Yeah, but guns don't kill people. People
right?
kill people.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I'm coming from the perspective of, if this politician is an anti-gun politician, why aren't they upset that the gun ban list exists and this shooter was not on the list? Why doesn't that bother them? Because you notice they don't ask any questions about it. They don't go there. They don't talk about the
Christian
running
the
FBI never invested.
Program.
Exactly.
Yeah. Chris,
so these,
yeah,
this
Kristen,
is how you know they're dishonest.
So
we can secure
Israel.
Our schools
Why
the same way we secure our courthouses.
Yeah.
That's 100% true.
You don't hear
about mass shootings at courthouses. So why can't we secure our schools using techniques of defense? We have the techniques available. We have cameras. We have all kinds of stuff. Every school in this country should have a plan that says, this is our perimeter. This is how we know who's coming in and out. You can do it with fencing and inexpensive cameras. And if somebody's coming in and we don't know them, here's the person who's supposed to go respond and see who they are. And if something goes wrong, here's all the locations for the alarms where you just hit a button and it puts out an active shooter alarm.
I'm in 100% agreement with you, but we have another problem.
Yeah.
We have only one conservative Republican mayor here in Broward County. The rest are Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all they're just not with that program.
You're right. That is the problem.
Okay.
They don't want to make improvements.
It is a problem. It's a local problem.
Yeah. Christian, running out of time. I would like you to give us a final message for you, for our listeners, to get you the vote for you, where they can find you and your website.
Absolutely. So I'm running for U.S. Congress in District 21. My name is Christian Acosta. My website is voteacosta.com, VOTEACOSTA. And if you are a voter in District 21, you do have a choice on August 18th. And I'm asking you to vote for me, Christian Acosta. And the reason why is this. This district can be won. It is a district with mostly Democrats, but it can be won because it's a district where people are not that political. All they care about is solutions. Same thing the president said, let's solve problems. That's what they want to hear. When you look for a candidate, you need someone who is a problem solver. I'm an engineer. I'm a professor. You need to be able to talk to every single group in the district and bring people together. I'm willing to talk to people who don't necessarily share my opinion. I went to the Sun Sentinel editorial board, and I talked to them. I got their endorsement. I went to the Palm Beach Post editorial board, and I talked to them and got their endorsement. They don't agree with me on a lot of stuff, but they agreed with me on education. They agreed with me on a lot of the environment. They agreed with me on economics. We can find ways to bridge the gap. And we can find things that everybody in this district wants to get done, and that's how you win an election. And that's the only way you're going to win in this district. I can do it. I can go and reach out to every single voter out there, and I can get enough of them to come over to our side to give us the 51% we need to go to Congress and to really get stuff done for Palm Beach County and stop a lot of this crazy extreme leftism that's just up there to obstruct. Give me your vote, and we will get it done. That's my pledge, and that's why I'd ask you to vote for Christian Acosta on August 18th.
Christian, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We only have a couple minutes left. Thank you so much, and good luck.
No, thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
When you win the primary, I'd love to have you back on for a full hour, okay?
Anytime. Thank you guys very much for the opportunity.
Right. You're
God bless.
Welcome.
And
good
we'll
luck.
Thank
good
you.
Luck. Thank you.
We'll talk
go
to you later.
Him.
Take care.
Go take her out.
Bye bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye bye now. Okay, we got 3 minutes.
It's another awesome show with He's the Artist and Christian Acosta. I didn't ask him if he was ready to bomb.
Christian is a great candidate. I'd love to get
is that
Laura,
right about Laura
Loomer?
She don't
thing.
Do the
I don't know,
thing,
but Laura Loomer, if you listen to the show, it's a good idea to come on the show. It'll be better
We'd
for
like
you.
To hear what you
anyway,
have to say. It's important.
Right.
And okay,
anyway,
Joe,
I want
to say God bless America. God bless you. God bless everyone. Great show. See you Wednesday. Bye.
God bless you all, and thank you for a great show, and have a great night, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the